Certainly great to see all the little kids. Blizzards, hurricanes, and floods. Oh my. There's times I wish I could go back and apologize to my mom and dad for certain things. It's like, even they've been gone for a few years, both of them, and even in the last few years, there's things that's like, oh, I now I'm experiencing some of the things that they did later in life, and it's like, well, I wish I could say I'm sorry that I wasn't more compassionate or didn't understand better and things like that. But there's one thing I wish I could go back and talk to my dad about, and that's the Weather Channel. Particularly when they lived in Florida, he got hooked on the Weather Channel like nobody else. And I believe that's what he watched all day long. If he was inside watching TV, the Weather Channel was on. And so whenever I would call and would end up talking with him, basically I got a weather report of the whole nation. And then I learned about fronts and cold fronts, warm fronts, and whatever was happening. He just seemed to take such an interest in that. Well, the reason I should apologize to him is I thought that was silly at the time until I find myself watching the weather way too long. And it's like, you know, I really don't need to know what's happening in Idaho. But boy, I'm right there seeing what all's going on. If you watch the Weather Channel any, you've heard of this name of one of the weathercasters, Jim Cantore. Does that name ring a bell? Okay, some of you are shaking your heads. Yeah, he seems to be the most famous, and I've seen him on other programs. I've even seen him, like, at Super Bowls, being the one that talks about the weather that's going to happen at a sporting event or something like that. And Jim Cantore is the one that, wherever there's bad storms, that's where you're going to find Jim. And he's going to be right out there, and the wind is blowing, and he's up to his hips in snow. He's treading through water because of the flood. He's showing you all the damage after the hurricane has come through. That's what Jim does. But one thing I've noticed watching the weather over and over and over again is they could take the same film reel of a hurricane or a blizzard or a flood and just use it every year. Use it for every storm. It seems like if you've seen one storm, you've seen them all. Well, maybe the interest we have in storms, and of course, if a storm is coming in our area, do we not get on to the local news and see what the weather's going to be? Do we not pull up a weather app and see, okay, what's it going to do to us? Storms get our attention is the bottom line. Storms get our attention. And in today's scripture, Mark 4, we're finishing up the fourth chapter of Mark today, and we're going to go to verses 35 to 41. Storms get our attention, and it was a storm that got the disciples' attention. It was a storm that got the disciples' attention. So let's read the scripture for today. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Well, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." The scripture today starts off by saying, "As evening came." We actually have to understand the importance of that, those three words. We have to go back to the first verse of the chapter, of chapter 4. Jesus was teaching on the lake shore, it says, and then as crowds grew, he got into a boat. This must have been earlier in the day. Two reasons he probably got in the boat, again, as the crowds were pressing in and more people were there to listen to Jesus teach, it was probably easier for them to see him if he got in the boat, and it was also easier for them to hear him. The natural effect of the lake, with the wind kind of pushing off the lake onto the shore, provided like a natural amplifier for Jesus. But then it says, now evening has come. So it's been a long day of teaching for Jesus. And although he was fully God, he was also fully human. So I've told you before, I spent most of my 30-year career in the insurance business as a corporate trainer. And there are many times I would spend all day, or sometimes all week, all day teaching. And I love to teach, but it can be very tiring at the end of a day of teaching. I'm sure it was tiring for Jesus. So we'll talk more about that in a moment. Remember, Jesus and his disciples were in the boat. And then, of course, Jesus was teaching all day. As evening approached, Jesus said to his disciples, the Bible says, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Now, the lake they were on was the Sea of Galilee. It's important to highlight some of the geography of the area before we talk about what was about to happen with this upcoming storm. You see, this body of water, the Sea of Galilee, is the lowest lake, the lowest freshwater lake in the world. The only lake that's lower than the Sea of Galilee, period, is the Dead Sea, but it's a saltwater lake. Well, the Sea of Galilee is mainly fed by the Jordan River. And for people who've been there, who've described what the lake looks like, it's like it's down in a bowl. There's mountains around a good part of the lake, and then it's near the desert as well. Well, this also helps with the factor of bad weather on the lake. The cold winds can rush down from the mountains, and the hot winds from the desert can come in, and they all converge on the lake. And this causes for the hot and cold meeting together, violent storms to come out of nowhere. There's no forecast on the Weather Channel. There's no alert that comes on your cell phone that says, bad weather in the area. It's boom, it's there. Before you know it. And there are big storms that happen, storms like the verse that we read today. And what that verse said was this, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Did you also notice there was a, in the verses we read today, it said other boats were following? If this had been, if Jim Cantore had been on the Weather Channel back 2,000 years ago, I could see him in one of the other boats. Microphone in one hand, holding onto the boat with the other. His Lands End Weather Channel rain slicker, his goggles on his face, waves, wind, water. But him telling us just how bad this fierce storm really was. Well, let's get back to the boat and the disciples. This boat that they were in was not a little rowboat with a couple oars. This was a decent-sized boat. The Bible doesn't describe it exactly, but something was found that helps us a little bit. In 1986, what's been termed the Ancient Galilee Boat, or also it's been called the Jesus Boat, was discovered at the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee during a drought. It was an ancient boat that was dated back to the first century AD, which is exactly where we're reading from this morning. The boat that they found, the frame was mostly intact, measured 27 feet long, probably from me to getting close to the back of the church. 27 feet long, 8 feet wide. So if we've got 4 or so feet here in the aisle, and then you add another couple feet on either side. So imagine how big this boat is. And then it was deep about 4 feet. So this was a decent size. It could hold maybe 15 fishermen at a time. So I don't know if all the disciples were with Jesus or just some of them. But this was a decent sized boat. And then don't forget this. that many of the disciples were professional fishermen. They'd been on boats like this before. They'd been on that sea a lot. They'd been in storms, surely, even in their young life, they had surely seen many storms in the past. Well, as Jesus and his disciples started to cross the lake in the boat, it was what we would call the calm before the storm. And don't we love calm? Can I get an amen there? Yeah, don't we love calm? And if the calm lasts sometimes a day, that's good. And if it's a week, if it's a month, wow, that's really, sometimes calm may last a year. I don't know how long calm lasts in your life. But we love the calm. But it seems like in a lifetime, and some of us have lived a lot of life, we could probably look back and we could say that we were either in the calm before the storm, or we were in the storm. That seems to be kind of what life is like. So I thought about this. The disciples could have avoided this dangerous situation from the storm and remained safe if they'd just stayed on land. But Jesus said, let's get in the water. Likewise, you could avoid some storms in your life if you would stay in a safe place. But God doesn't do miracles when we're in a safe place, when everything is perfect, when everything is calm. A most amazing miracle of Jesus is about to take place when this storm comes for the disciples. And it's possible that Jesus is about to do something amazing, maybe even a miracle in your life. So don't be afraid to get out on the water. Sure, it'd be safer to stay on shore and not be out in that place where things can happen instantly and violently. Well, as I read and meditate on these verses, I continue to think about the event. Another thing that could have happened is Jesus could have delayed the storm. He could have known ahead of time, you know what, we're crossing the lake. It's going to take so many minutes or a few hours. Father, keep the storms from happening. He could have delayed. And then once they got to the other side of the shore, let it all loose from the heavens. But he allowed it to happen. Jesus could delay the storm that you're in right now, could have delayed it, but he didn't. He could have prevented it from happening on the Sea of Galilee, but he didn't. He could have prevented it from even happening in your life, but he didn't. But you know what? Think of this, and hopefully you'll get some relief. How many storms has he prevented? How many storms in your life has he delayed? So God had a purpose for allowing this storm on the Sea of Galilee. And God has a purpose for allowing the storm that you're in right now. I also thought that Jesus could have stayed awake and been with the disciples when the storm came. But he chose to relax. He chose to fall asleep, even stay asleep when the storm hit. In today's verse, it actually said this. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. You may not feel the presence of God in your current storm, but he's there. Just like he was there with the disciples. And even though Jesus, who is God in the second person of the Trinity, he could sleep because he was, again, fully human. The psalmist says, and Ron, I didn't have this up for you, so just hear me, folks. In Psalm 121, 2-4, it says this, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel, which is the same God who's watching over us right now, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. so the Lord can be called upon anytime. He's in our boat, in other words. And so the question I have for you and me both is, have you called on him? Have you told him about the wind and about the waves in your life and about the fact that water is rising in your boat? Mark goes on to write in the verses that we read today. He says, the disciples woke him up shouting. My guess is they didn't say, hey, Peter, would you go wake up Jesus? Let's choose who's going to wake up Jesus. Okay, draw straws. My guess is it was to the point where they didn't have to have a meeting about it. They just all, let's get to Jesus. And they were to the back of the boat yelling at him, maybe multiple voices. And it says, woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we are about to drown? Jesus, don't you care that we're going to drown? Have we ever said that to Jesus? In fact, are you even asking the question today? Are you asking the question, teacher, don't you care that I'm about to, and then you fill in the blank? Are you wondering if Jesus cares about your storm? And what is your storm? Is it a hurricane? Is it a blizzard? Is it a flood? Probably not. That happens once in a while. If you were in Kennard in 1974, yeah, you were affected by the wind. Some people more than others. But for the most part, the storms come, the natural storms, the weather storms come and go. The storms that I'm talking about this morning are storms like financial storms, where sometimes somebody doesn't know when their next paycheck is coming, or when they'll get a raise to where they can get ahead, or will they ever be able to get out of debt. Sometimes it's a relationship storm that people are in, and I'm just having a hard time with my daughter-in-law, having a hard time with my son, having a hard time with my brother. I'm having relationship issues with a neighbor, with a coworker. And the list can go on. Sometimes it's a mental or emotional storm that folks are in. One thing I do on a regular basis is folks that are just contacts of mine, mainly through Facebook, but it's people who have watched or listened to us on Facebook or people I've just come in contact with over the years. I will routinely ask for if they have any prayer requests. I'll just send out a message, a text to them. How can I pray for you today? And people come back with all kinds of storms that they're in their life. But what's interesting is this, just a few days ago I did this, and a very common theme that came back was people, either individuals. Somebody said, would you pray for my husband? He's been dealing with mental issues for years. Would you pray for my child? They're having mental issues. Emotional issues. And some would even say, would you just pray for the country? It seems like our country, there's a lot of mental health issues. And these were from people who would know because they're in that business. That could be a storm that you're in. Could be a physical storm. We bring up every Sunday, someone died, someone is sick, someone is hurting physically. And then, obviously, there's spiritual storms. Someone's struggling with being called to salvation by God, being moved by the Holy Spirit, and they're resisting, and there's a spiritual storm that's going on. Maybe you have accepted Christ as your Savior, but there's a sin you just cannot overcome. And it seems like you say, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I won't do it again, I won't do it again. And it happens again. It's like that just, it's a storm in your spirit. So the question that the disciples said, teacher, don't you care? And the question that we might ask sometimes is, Jesus, don't you care about the storm I'm in? And I want to give you the answer to that. And the answer is yes. Yes, Jesus cares. He cared about the storm that the disciples were in. He cares about the storm that you're in. And he doesn't just care. He can do something about it. He can stop it. Jesus can stop the storm, just like he did with the weather storm that these disciples were in. But listen to this. And if you've not heard everything I've said so far, really pay attention to these next words. Not just these verses here, but as I read the whole Bible, I think this is a truth. Jesus can stop any storm, but according to his will, according to his way, and according to his timing. And his will and way and timing is not always our will and way and timing. You know, when the disciples went to Jesus and woke him up and said, "Look what's happening, don't you care?" He gets up or sits up, whatever he did, and just speaks to the wind and waves, and they stop immediately. Don't you wish that that could happen when we go to the Lord and say, "Lord, don't you care about my storm?" And then he would speak a word, and it's like, okay, it's over with. The relationship's been restored. There's money that's been magically put in my bank account. I don't feel pain anymore. I'm healed of this disease. My spirit is free from ever being tempted by this or that. Jesus can stop the storm, but it's according to his will, his way, and his timing. And here's another thing, I think just it's a principle with storms that we learn throughout the Bible. He can stop it after it fulfills its purpose. And if you haven't figured out already, there's a purpose in the very physical storm that the disciples are in. And we'll get to that as we finish up. But there's a purpose in the very storm that you're in too, or that you've been in the past, or that you'll go through in the future. He will stop the storm after it fulfills his purpose. And the purpose may be for you, or the purpose may be for someone else. You may be going through the storm. It's like, the Lord's not teaching you anything. Everything's good, but there's someone else that's watching. There's someone else that's related. There's someone that lives next door. There's someone that you go to church with. And they're going to see how you go through the storm. And then he will calm that storm. At first, Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves. It says in the scripture, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And then suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. He gave a command, nature obeyed. Did you know that waves had ears? I didn't know that. But they heard him say, "Stop, silence, be still." And immediately they were. Next, he spoke to the disciples. He asked a question. He actually asked two questions. He said, "Why are you afraid?" And then he asked, before they could even answer that one, "Do you still have no faith?" The disciples responded, but not with a verbal answer, but with fear. The disciples responded, and it says in Scripture that they were absolutely terrified. That was the response. They said, "Who is this man?" they asked each other. Even the winds and the waves obey him. Interesting, I don't know if you caught that when we read it through the first time. When the storm came, they were afraid. So afraid, they said, "Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown? We're going to die." That's a lot of fear. And yet, it says that after the wind and waves were calm, you would think they'd have said, "Whew, this is good. Thank you, Jesus." But instead, Scripture tells us that now they went from being afraid to being absolutely terrified. After the calm? I don't know if I even understand that. Well, this wasn't that I'm afraid of the dark fear. This was a reverent, respectful fear. Even though they'd seen Jesus perform many kinds of miracles, they experienced the very presence of God in a new and powerful way. and they asked the question, who is this man? They had seen this man perform miracle after miracle. They watched him at a wedding turn water into wine. They watched him make people who couldn't walk instantly walk. They couldn't talk, now they can't stop talking. They couldn't see, now they have perfect vision. They couldn't hear, now they can hear a pin drop. They were dead, but now they're alive. A boy brought a lunch sack, and it fed thousands of people. They had seen miracle after miracle after miracle performed by this man. But now, after he just speaks a word, calms the winds and wind and waves, they say, who is this guy? It's like they recognized that he is the God who created the winds and the waves. And he can control them by just speaking a word. They were afraid because they were in awe of who was in the boat with him. And as I finish up, just two thoughts. This is the same God that's available to us right now. And I'm looking at people who are in this, if you want to say, we're in one boat or the other, as far as people in this life. If you're in this boat, if you're a born again, washed in the blood, saved believer, use whatever terminology from the Bible you want. All you have to do, if you're in that category, if you're in that boat, all you have to do is call on him. Then, according to his purpose, like we talked about, he will either calm the storm or he'll keep you calm in the storm. He will either calm the storm or at least he'll keep you calm while you're in the storm. If this is you this morning, would you call on him right now? You know what storm you're in. Some of you have shared your storms with us, and some of you, we have no idea. So would you call on him right now? Now, this next boat of people probably doesn't apply to anyone here, but we're recording this, if you remember. And this goes out on a website. We've done the same thing with the Facebook broadcast. If you have never admitted that you're a sinner, if you've never genuinely repented of your sins, if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you, if you've never asked Jesus to be your personal Savior, then you are powerless in your storm. He's not there to be woke up unless you call on him for salvation. So if this is you, then would you call on him right now? And I'm hoping people are talking to Jesus right now. We'll go ahead and close our have our closing song. But I hope people are calling on Jesus, whether you're a Christian or you're not. What song is it that we're closing with today, Roy?